American 1041, contact Boston Departure, Hasta La Vista.
Horizon Air 259, runway 16 left, clear for takeoff.
You have arrived. It's Push to Talk on EAA Radio. Magneto Mel covers commercial aviation with pilots, controllers, regulators, and special guests.
Back in one chair, that's your bogey taking the runway. You'll be next.
Intelligent conversation about flying for a living.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. You're my most favorite pilot right now.
So find that red button. It's time to Push to Talk.
And welcome back to EAA Radio. You're listening on 93.3 FM and EAAradio.net. I'm Magneto Mel, and today I'm joined by Colonel Dave Tesmer with the Air National Guard. How are you doing this morning?
Real good, Mel. Thanks.
Trying to stay dry out there?
Indeed.
I don't know if you were here last year, but it seems like we've got a repeat of the Slosh Fest.
Part
so
two.
Hopefully, yeah, 2.0 out there. So what is it that you do with the Air National Guard? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Again, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Dave Tesmer, and I'm the Mission Support Director at Volk Field Combat Readiness Training Center here in the central part of Wisconsin. And our mission at the CRTC is one of training and education and outreach, and that's why we're here at Oshkosh.
And tell me a little bit about what the Air National Guard does.
Sure. The Air Guard is, I guess you can look at the Air Forces of the country in three parts. One is the active duty Air Force, which most people are familiar with. We in the Air Guard actually have two missions. We get the same training that the active duty folks do, but we also have a state mission. So we have a state and federal mission. So if you might recall, a few years ago here in the state, there were some severe floods, and parts of the Air Guard were called out to help our fellow citizens in that flood. So we did things like deliver sandbags, meals, help set up shelters, and that kind of thing. So that's our state mission, and when that happens, the governor calls us out. Our federal mission, of course, the president calls us out, and we are currently deployed in the theater of operations in the Middle East, supporting that effort there.
State mission being all domestic operations.
Correct. Correct.
And now you're a division of, a portion of the, what military?
Well, again, we're part of the Air Force, I guess you could say. And it's the Air Force made up of the active duty component, the Air National Guard, and the Air Force Reserve. And we're the only part of that triad, if you will, that has that state function, that state mission, that stateside mission. The others are strictly federal.
And how does that compare with other, there seems to be a lot of aviation in various branches of the military, and also you've got the Civil Air Patrol.
Sure.
There are portions of the Army that have their flying regime. So how is all that divided up, and what are the duties, and who decides what does what?
Yeah, great, because there's only about 1% of us that are part of the military that wear the uniform, so it does get confusing. You see a lot of flying things here, and who just does what and who
and
owns
the naval
what. Naval
air,
aspect, absolutely.
So what is it? Who does all that?
Yeah, it's kind of all divided up. And generally speaking, the Air Guard and the Army National Guard, we have the same mission, the same mission set, and same skill set as our active duty counterparts. And the way it's kind of divided up here, and I can use the Federal Pavilion as an example, is that we have F-16s in the Guard, just like the active duty component does. We have refuelers in the Guard, as does active duty and reserves. By and large, the Army Guard has rotary wing stuff, so the helicopters they would have. They also have UASs, unmanned aerial systems, like the Shadow, smaller than the Predator. We in the Guard have the Predator mission as well, though. So we fly Predators just like our active duty component does. And it's kind of divided up on the needs of the Air Force. They're determined by the needs of the nation as a whole.
So the Air Force is the kind of at the helm of all this?
Correct. Yeah.
Even with the other divisions?
With the Air Guard. The Army then would determine what the Army assets would need. So they would determine where the Lakota helicopters, the UH-72s, where the Blackhawks would go, where the Chinooks would go, and that type of thing.
And the Navies?
And the Navy would have the Naval Reserve, and they would have their own needs and service needs.
And how do the missions differ?
The missions, some are overlapping, so they would have, for example, we could talk about the Marine Corps as well, the Marine Corps Reserve. They would have F-18s that they would fly, which is both an air-to-air as an air-to-ground platform. F-16s are also air-to-air, air-to-ground. So those missions are somewhat overlapping, but again, they support their mother service, if you will.
Okay. And I see here that you... that you've got the Air Force Achievement Medal and Meritorious Service Medal. What were those for?
Sure. Well, it's for a combination of things, and really, I don't want to talk too much about that, because anything that we do in the military is not, I don't do it. We do it as a team. We do it together. And it's one of those things that it's a little embarrassing for me, obviously, actually, to talk about that, just because it is a team effort in the military. But Okay. I understand it is part of the bio, and so that's what was provided. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So also that you you were a chairman of the International Federal Partnership.
Yes.
So what were your duties with that?
Yeah, the International Federal Partnership, or IFP, runs the Federal Pavilion here on the grounds. And it's a collection of federal agencies from the U.S., Canada, and the islands of the Bahamas that all have some kind of interplay with the general aviation folks, as well as the general public. And so our mission here is to reach out to those communities and kind of educate them. My duties as chairman was basically, I was the focal point. So I represented those agencies and worked with EAA and worked out issues that were of common interest or concern to us, and be sure that the partnership was providing the things that EAA needed, and that they in turn would support us in our effort to educate the public and their members.
And now, what do you fly personally?
That's a question that everyone in the Air Force has asked, I think, and there's a very small percentage of Air Force personnel. I don't fly anything. I tell pilots where to go and what to do when they get there.
Okay, so you are not a pilot.
Correct.
So what got you into...
Yeah, what got me here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm what's called an Air Battle Manager, 13 Bravo, and people might be familiar with the AWACS platform. I'm the evil twin of air traffic control. Air traffic control keeps people apart, and they're very familiar with that. Air Battle Managers are the guys that are helping the pilots execute dogfights, air-to-air refuelings, close-air support missions, that type of thing.
And what does that job entail for you?
Well, for me, it's basically I'm looking at a radar display. So I would have a radar of maybe the AWACS or a ground-based radar, and identifying aircraft, working with fighters on an intercept perhaps to keep them in a training scenario, keep them from their objective, keep them from their target, and protect the homeland.
Okay. And then what's your personal background? You've been with the Air National Guard for a little while, yeah?
I've been with the Guard for a while. Yes, I have. I started out back in 1984, so that kind of gives folks an idea where I started, on the enlisted side of the house. And so I was worked with air crew life support, worked with the pilots and air crews at the refueling wing, a tanker wing, and that dealt with survival equipment, rafts, personal survival gear, helmets, parachutes, that kind of thing. Went to college, got my degree, and then was commissioned and became an air battle manager.
What was your degree?
I actually have a couple. I have in geography and history, and then I took a slight break in service and got a teaching certification and taught for a while, and then got back in the military.
And geography and history, has that served you well in your...
I think it has.
A lot of people go to school for one thing and end up, obviously, in something else.
Absolutely, sure. I think a liberal arts education, I think, works well in this kind of career field, in that it prepares you. You can see a bigger picture, perhaps, than some that are more focused. And so that served me very well, I think.
And anything in your, it's been quite a few years, as we've mentioned, 20, 25 years.
Sure.
Anything that stands out that you...
I was talking to someone earlier today about it. I think my only regret is I didn't join sooner, and it's been one of the best decisions I made, quite honestly. I've enjoyed the Guard quite a bit. Great people, great experiences, and I hope to continue to serve for a number of years yet.
Any particular missions you talked about the flood relief and all that?
I think, quite honestly, anytime you can reach out and help people and ease suffering and pain, I think that's a great thing. So I think that it was one of the guests mentioned earlier, the thanks that people give us is great, but we're here to serve, and so that's a lot of, I get a lot of satisfaction out of that.
And there's you say you have the the radar portion of it that's the opposite. He's
sure.
An evil twin. Yeah. I don't know if you can call it the evil twin, but the opposite of what the air traffic controllers do.
Sure.
You also have air traffic controllers, right?
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about how you work together with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of interplay between the two of us. The air traffic controllers, everyone's familiar with that, but in our airspace, for example, we have our own air traffic controller folks, and so if we have a mission going on, and I would see a radar blip squawking 1200, we do offer flight follow in our airspace here in central Wisconsin. I would get on the telephone, call the ATC folks and see if they're talking to that guy and see what their plans are, where is he going, and that way I can talk on the radio to the fighter pilots and give them an idea who's out in the airspace, what they're doing, and we can plan the fight accordingly.
Do you guys have any kind of presence on the field here where people can come and talk to you if they have an interest in discussing things further?
Absolutely. I would encourage them to head on down to the Federal Pavilion. We're right on the flight line, and we have a live radar feed in there, and we also have some displays of our typical training mission here in the state, as well as overlays of the airspace throughout the country.
Okay. And is there anything else that you wanted to... I know you're on a... like to give out some information? So
sure, yeah. It's great to be here and encourage people to come on down and see the federal partnership. It's not just us. There's about a dozen other federal agencies, Customs and Border Protection, Park Service, so on and so forth, that all have a link to general aviation. I think it's be very educational. We have some great displays and some great forum presentations to include the dog show that's on our stage.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for being here. You've been listening to Colonel Dave Tesmer with the Air National Guard, and this is EAA Radio, and I am Magneto Bell. We'll be back in just a bit.